Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Think about this. What would happen if, every time we met someone, we treated the encounter as a divine appointment? God uses seemingly chance meetings as points of contact for the gospel. That's what happened in Acts chapter 8. You know what? It can also happen in the chapter of God's work we are writing today. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer comes for a final time to teach us that when God is first, He owns our appointments, like the one Pastor Lutzer had in a plane high over Hong Kong.
And I discovered that sitting next to me was a communist who taught chemistry in China, the Chinese university. And I thought, oh, if only I had a Bible to give him. My daughter overheard the conversation. We weren't able to sit together on this jet, and so my wife was a couple of seats ahead of me, and our oldest daughter overheard the conversation, turned back and said, Dad, you know that Mother took that Bible from the hotel room in Hong Kong that's in Chinese. Now, I need to tell you that my wife is not a thief. I told that story this summer when I was preaching to the Gideons at their annual convention. And they really got on to me. They said, you owe us $6. And when I wanted to give them $6, they wouldn't take it. And I said, oh, what do you mean she has a Bible from the hotel room? So we got Rebecca, and sure enough, in her case that was on the plane, she had a Bible. Chinese on one side, New Testament, English on the other. I gave it to the man, and I asked him whether he had seen a Bible before, and he said, no, I've never seen a Bible before. And God is my witness. He held it in his hands like this, and he says, so you mean this is a Bible? And I said, yeah. He said, you mean this is a Bible? I said, yeah, this is a Bible. And then he asked me one more time, is this a Bible? And then he said, I'll tell you why I'm so interested. He said, my mother, who died when I was 6 years old, was a Christian, and I always wondered what Christians believed. By now, this huge jet was beginning to have its descent into Tokyo, and there I was explaining the gospel to him, drawing a diagram of the cross, explaining how Jesus died for sinners. And my final words to him were this, you know, your mother probably prayed that someday you'd accept Christ as Savior so that you could be in heaven with her. I want to see you in heaven, I said as I looked into his eyes, and your mother is there waiting for you. And he said, well, he said, who knows, but at least he had a Bible. One of the reasons that heaven becomes exciting is I can hardly wait to see whether he's going to be there. I think he is. Because God puts that all together for us. Now, here's what I want to say to you today, from my heart to yours. Can you think of the tragedy of a prepared heart who is empty and seeking, and God brings them up against his servants, and they have nothing to say? They have nothing to say. There are people working in your office, in your hospital, in your bank, who are empty, they're searching, they don't know where to turn, and you are there, and you have never given them a Christian book and said, read this, and then we'll talk about it. You have never spoken about Jesus. You have never thrown out a hint that you believe that Jesus is the one who changed your life and therefore is able also to change the life of your colleague. And there are hungry people who do not understand what they are reading, who need someone to slip next to them and say to them, let me share with you. And you know how to do it? You can do it so, so easily by simply saying, would you mind if I were to share with you something that somebody once shared with me? I've used that. I've never yet had somebody say, no, I don't want to hear that. Let me say that again. Would you mind if I were to share with you something that somebody once shared with me that's very special to me? And then you tell them about Jesus. And you'll discover that God directs your appointments. And if you don't know what to say, that's why we have 100 people every Tuesday here at the church with evangelism explosion, teaching people how to witness, not just on Tuesday night, but teaching them to witness as a way of life. If I had had just a few more moments in the airport in Winnipeg, that young lady, God bless her, would have heard the gospel, but because of some interruption, it didn't happen. Why? Because there are all kinds of hungry people who don't know where to turn. And when God is first, we suddenly discover that He directs us and leads us and opens doors for us. And all that we have to do is to be obedient and to walk through them. There's a second lesson, and that is that the real key to witnessing is joy. You'll notice that we read it a moment ago that the Ethiopian, he went on his way rejoicing. Do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember that sense of peace that you had, that overwhelming conviction that you knew God? The age of 14, that's what happened to me. Just such a strong sense of conviction that finally, I've come to know God through Jesus. And you know, sometimes that joy leaves us, doesn't it? And I'll tell you why it does. It is because sin causes the cup of joy to spring a leak. And so the cup drains out and there is no joy. And so many Christians are like a cup half full, trying desperately to spill over. They want to spill over at least on Sunday when we sing such wonderful hymns, but sin is there. As soon as sin enters, joy must leave. And putting God first means that we seek God, that we confess our sins, that we deal ruthlessly with it, that we take it very, very seriously. And we do whatever we need to do to find help to overcome that which stifles, robs us of joy. What would Moody Church look like if God were first? We would be joyful, witnessing Christians, not buttonholing people, but joyful, witnessing Christians, available to the blessed Holy Spirit of God to be led. I've often been led, and so have you, without even being aware of it. Just in the casual events of life, you're led, but you're open and you're available, and the Spirit of God begins to move in and say that if you are available and yielded, I will use you in ways that you could have never, never predicted. Philip, when he was chosen to wait on tables. This is the guy now, remember? When he was chosen to wait on tables, I'm sure there wasn't a chance in the world that he was thinking, well, you know, I'm going to be faithful waiting on tables because someday I'm going to be an evangelist and get a couple of chapters in the Bible written about me. No. He was faithful, but he was Spirit-filled, and God says, you be an evangelist, and you can speak to crowds. But you can also speak to people in airports and people who are in chariots going down a dusty road who are seeking but don't even know where to look. A joyful witnessing church when God is first. We say in the morning, Lord, all of my appointments today are yours. I just give you my timetable. Whomever I meet, whatever circumstances, the interruptions of phone calls and other people, I accept as your will because you are in charge. I love to tell that story about Montana. You know, there is a state in this union called Montana. Well, God bless the people of Montana. Not a whole lot going on in Montana. I've been there. You drive all day, you get to little towns that are so small that when you plug in an electric razor, the lights go out. But in the 1850s, gold was found in Montana in some of the riverbeds. And there were some people, about 10 of them, that were getting this gold. And suddenly they came across all of this gold in the river. Lots of gold. But they were tired. Their implements were broken. They had no food. They were hungry. One or two of their number had died. And they said, there's no way for us to do this. So let us form a pact. Let us form an agreement among ourselves that we will not tell anyone where the gold is. Then let's go back to town. Let's get our implements. Let's get some food. Let's get some rest. And then we can come back and get all the gold for ourselves. So they entered into a pact that they would do that. 10 days later, when they left the little town to go get the gold, 50 of the town's people followed them. I couldn't believe it. What is this? Did you tell? No, I didn't tell. Did you tell? No, I didn't tell. I didn't tell. No, not me. The townspeople said, we knew that they had found gold by the smile that was on their faces. Let me ask you this. Do your neighbors and friends in your sphere of influence know that you've found gold? Are you available to the Spirit as you say, yes, God, take everything that I am, everything that I hope to be, because by your grace, you are first. God will use you in ways that you could have never possibly imagined. May the people of Moody Church and may the people of Chicago know that in the evangelical churches today, because there are many fine evangelical churches like ours that preach the word, that the Christians in Chicago have found gold.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Luther. I have to say, in my hands right now is a book that describes that gold, so to speak. It's a book entitled The New Birth. Now, today is Good Friday. We think of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us as sinners. But that death has to be applied to us. It can't simply be assumed that we are Christians just because we're in a church or we're in a Christian country or whatever. The new birth is a miracle done by God. So even as you think about your relationship with God today on this very special day, I want you to have a copy of the book, The New Birth. As a matter of fact, it'll even help you to test your assurance as to whether or not you are born again, because many people have false assurance. So for a gift of any amount, this book can be yours. In a moment, you're going to be given info as to how it can be yours. Also, I want to close by saying thank you so very much for your help, for your encouragement, for your prayers, because together, in fact, I like to think of Running to Win as thousands of people throughout the country and in different countries, all joining together, running successfully all the way to the finish line.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer has now concluded He Owns Our Appointments, the last message in his series, When God is First, taken from the Book of Acts. Next time, don't miss a series on how you can be sure you'll spend eternity with God. Peter Mead has written a book about the need for the new birth, the dividing line between the saved and the unsaved. A copy of The New Birth will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about the new birth. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.